Good morning. Today's daf Mitzvahs Kuf Zayin. Thank you for the foundation for sponsorship of the daf as long as Zecher Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We start today on the very top of Kuf Vav Amud Beis. We are continuing from a Mishnah that we saw yesterday. The Mishnah is on Kuf Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah discusses more scenarios of tenant farming. And remember our rule that we said since the top of Kuf Dalet. You see a Mishnah in the ninth paragraph of Mitzvah, so you have to identify whether it's talking about Arisus or Chakiros. First Mishnah is talking about both, but after that, the Mishnayos from Kuf Dalet and onward are talking about one or the other, either sharecropping or tenant farming. So we are on a Mishnah on tenant farming. The Mishnah talks about Makas Medina. There's a more general infestation of either locusts or wind blasts or whatever. And so do you get to now an exemption, some sort of deduction from the rent you owe the owner? So the Mishnah itself made a distinction, or at least the Shita of Rav Yehuda made a distinction whether or not you're planning to pay in grain or you're planning to pay in money. And we're going to come back to that a little bit later on. But in the meantime, however, we're discussing at what point in time you could basically say, I tried and it is just simply not working. So we're now in the very top of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara starts off. There's one brace that says, Pam Rishon V'Shnei Zara, U'Shlish Zeno Zara. So you tried once, you tried twice, you don't have to try a third time. At that point in time, two failures, it indicates to you that this is simply not going to work. Another brace says, Zara, Reviz Zeno Zara. Now, the another brace says, you really need to try three times. After the third time, that's it. So, lo kasha haker Rabbi Akiva Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, really, the discrepancy between these two brises is not difficult, meaning we understand what the disagreement is. It's over the classic machlokas of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, haker Rabbi da'amar betray zimne have chazaka, haker Rabbi Shimon Gamliel da'amar betalat zimne have chazaka. Remember the Gemara in Yevamos. We talked about a woman who's a katlanish. She's a killer. She married a man, the man dies. She married a second man, then the second man dies. So she is, at that point in time, now is she a katlanish? Is she somebody who, look, you can marry her, but you know what's going to happen. You know what the fate's going to be. So that's a machlokas between Rebbe and Rashi and Gamliel, whether two times create a chazaka or three times create a chazaka. So over here, same thing. Meaning, so you attempted to plant once, twice. Do we have now a chazaka? So the Gemara says that's a machlokas between Rebbe and Rashi and Gamliel. Am Rish Lakish Loshanu El Shazar V'Samcha V'Achla Chagav. Now, this idea that with two or three failures, you could basically now say to the owner, look, I'm sorry, the field is not producing. I tried. I tried twice or three times, depending on who you hold like, but I tried. To that, the Gemara now makes the following provision, and that is proviso. And that is, Reish Lakish says, that's only when you planted, it grew, and then along came locusts. Aval, zara, velot samcha. However, let's say you planted and just nothing happened. So at that point in time, you are not given a pass, and you have to continue doing so and keep trying until the end of the season. Matzi amar le bala karka, so the owner can say to you, "Call you mezera zara la v'azel." So he says to you, "You just keep trying." Meaning, if we have locusts coming and decimating once, twice, maybe a third time, fine. But if you're planting, you have the entire season, and you will continue planting throughout the entire season. Vad Amos, and at what point in time now is the season come to an end? And where the now farmer can say to the owner, look, it's just too late now. Vad Amos amarapapa ad asi arisa mitbara v'kai mikim arishayhu. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Papa that, I'll tell you when it's Adar. It's going to be the month of Adar. Now, there is a really technical description of this Gemara over here, and you can see Rashi for a very lengthy description of the Gemara over here describing the month of Adar. The Gemara could have just easily said the month of Adar, but the Gemara wants to put it in the terms of a constellation. Okay, if you want to hear it quickly, I'm not going to go through the entire Rashi, but basically, when the sharecropper goes in from the field back home, so it's the 10th hour of the day, Kima, which is a minor constellation, is directly overhead at that point in time, and this all occurs in the month of Adar. Again, you want to see more about that, please take a look at Rashi. Rashi describes it. For our purposes right now, all we need to know is the month of Adar. So basically, we're at the end of the season. Okay, we are right up. We're one month away from Nisan. We're basically at the end of the planting season. So Meisver the Gemara says, okay, but I'm challenging you based on the following brace. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mishum Rabbi Meir Omer Vechein Hayor Rabbi Shimon Bemnasio Omer Kidva Rav. And here we have now a list of seasons. How many seasons are there? So the correct answer is six. Okay, now I know you think four. I also used to think four. But you look in Parshas Noach, and you'll see, after the Mabul, the Torah goes on and enumerates not four seasons, but actually six seasons. Okay, and the Torah gives a description of all six of the seasons. And what we're doing now in the Gemara is we're basically identifying which months are connected to which seasons. Now, if there's six seasons, there's 12 months, so obviously each season is going to be 2 months. So it's not that tricky. But the tricky part is that, according at least to the first opinion, the seasons start midway through a month. So, let's go. Chatzi Tishrei Mar Cheshvan v'Chatzi Kislev. So starting halfway through Tishrei, meaning basically Sukkos, and Cheshvan, and half of Kislev, so that's Zera. Okay, so that's the season of Zera. Now the season of Zera, obviously, Kishmo Kachu, in other words, that's when you plant. Chatzi Kislev Tevis v'Chatzi Shvat, and now we're just going to go 2 months later, and that's Choref, and that's the winter. And Chatzi Shvat Ad v'Chatzi Nisan Kor, and now we get right up until Pesach, so that's the cold months. Chatzi Nisan Ir v'Chatzi Sivan Katsir. Now we start with Pesach, and we go 2 months in to halfway into Sivan, and that is the harvest season. Chatzi Sivan Tammuz v'Chatzi Av Kayetz, and now 2 months later, and we're halfway through Av, and that's the what we would call summer. Chatzi Av Elav v'Chatzi Tishrei Chom, and right up until Sukkot, so it is Chom, hot. Okay, so these are the six seasons. These are the ones enumerated in Parshas Noach, and the Gemara over here just identifies Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're just going to go over a couple more shitas in this brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mitishrei. Now Rabbi Yehuda says basically everything we just said correct. It's just that your starting point is going to be the first day of Tishrei. So in other words, move up 15 days earlier. But then everything we just said. And Rabbi Shimon Monami Mar Cheshvan. And Rabbi Shimon counts from Mar Cheshvan. So again, everything we just said, but move 15 days later. Now, Man Mekel Bakula Rabbi Shimon. Now, of all these opinions, basically, when is Zera? When do you plant? So if we're going to go with the most Mekel Shita, Mekel in our context means the latest into the season, so you're starting Cheshvan and you're going 2 months in. And that's it. And that's well before Adar. So how can we say, how can Rav Papa say that Adar is really the end of the planting season? Vekule Halokamer. And so the Gemara says, and we're not going so far as Adar. So the owner says to the farmer, you continue planting. And how long is that till? So Rav Papa says Adar, but meanwhile we just learned the Brisa together, and the Brisa says, latest is Cheshvan Kislev. And that's it. So the Gemara says, Lokasha had the kabli mei b'charfe had the kabli mei b'afle. So the Gemara says, well, there's early harvest and there's late harvest. Or there's early, I should say better, there's early planting and there's late planting. So early planting, Rashi describes wheat and rye. So they're planted in the early part of the planting season. So there, that's the brisa we just described. We're basically Cheshvan and Kislev, and that's it. But afle, if it's the late harvest or the late planting, barley, beans, said Rashi. So under those circumstances, so then the expectation is that you keep planting up until and through the month of Adar. Rabbi Yehuda Omrim Kabbalim Mimena B'Maos, and then we finish off with commenting on Rabbi Yehuda's statement of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you are a choker, if you're a tenant farmer, but you are going to pay in money and not in produce, so then whatever happens to the land, you're still on the hook to pay. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, the simple svar behind that is you're renting. In other words, it's a regular lease. And if you're paying in money, so regardless of what happens in the field, there's no contingency, you're just simply renting the property. Rashi back in the Mishnah, which I did not mention yesterday, which I'll mention quickly today, Rashi back in the Mishnah says that the reason why, under certain circumstances, you can claim an exemption, or you can claim that, look, I'm really sorry, but, you know, Makas Medina, is because there's a gzera. Clearly there's a gzera. Rashi back of the Mishnah says, we can say there's a gzera on produce, but we cannot say that there's a gzera on money. Rashi back in the Mishnah, right? Sha'al maslo nigzer gzera. There's no such thing as a gzera on money in this context. So that's why you just simply are going to have to pay regardless of what happens in the course of the field. Now, Gemara tells a couple of stories. Hahu gavra dekabel ara lemizra behu tume. Aguda nahamaka sava bezuze. So there was a tenant farmer who accepted to plant, who took a field, and his plan was to plant garlic, and right along, Nahar Malkasave, and he was going to pay with money. So far, so good. Istakir Nahar Malkasaba. The river got stuffed up, so now he no longer had a water source, and he's going to go now to the owner and try to explain to him why he can't pay the rent. Also, coming to Rava. Now it goes to Rava Amarlei. Now Makasaba Lo Avid Demiskar. So the question was posed to Rava. Rava says, "This is such is so unusual. River never gets blocked up, and here it did. You know what? Makas Medina he. So I'm going to put this under the category of Makas Medina, and therefore I'm going to tell the tenant farmer that he doesn't have to pay the owner. Zil Nachilei. So go create a deduction for him. He does not going to have to pay. So Amalei Rabbi on the Rava Hanantan on Rabbi Yudarmanim Kiblahim and Abamaos Ben Kach Ben Kach Ena Manakala Min Chakuro. What about our Mishnah? What about Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says that when the agreement was to pay in money, so then you do not get an exemption. You do not get a deduction. And so what are you going to do with our Mishnah? Amar Lahu, so Rava says very simply, Leis techash leile Rav Yehuda. Find that Shitas Rav Yehuda. We don't hold like Rav Yehuda. We hold that when you are tenant farming, regardless of whether you are going to be paying in crop or in money, if this Makas Medina, so you get a deduction. So we just learned together that Rava does not subscribe to the Shita of Rav Yehuda. We're up to the next Mishnah. On Kuvav Amud Beis, Mekabelson Mechaver Basar Kur Chitim Lashana. So you accepted upon yourself to take a field and pay the owner of the field 10 kor of wheat for the year. Vilakita. Now the wheat grew, but it wasn't that exciting. It was the quality of the wheat was very poor. No stain lo mitocha. So mitocha. So that's the wheat that grew in the field. You're going to take 10 core of it, and that's what you're going to give to the owner of the property. Meaning, in terms of the grade and the quality of the wheat, so it's going to be whatever comes out of that property. Now, again, we have to do what we always do now when we learn a Mishnah. Is this talking about a rhesus or is this talking about chakiris? So Rashi says, of course it's talking about chakiris. It's not talking about a rhesus. If it's a rhesus, so you guys are partners. Okay, say hello to your partner, right? And whatever the profits are, that's what you're sharing with the owner of the land because you guys are partners. But over here, when it's a rental contract, when it's tenant farming, so you could make the argument that yes, I'm paying in crop, but what is of the normal expected quality? That's what you could have argued. And now we're learning in the Mishnah, no. Even though it's a fixed amount, it's still going to be a fixed amount based on whatever grows in the ground. Hayuchita yafos. Now let's go in the other direction. Let's say the quality of grain that grew in that field was superior than normal. It was above average. So lo yomalo harin elokech min hashok elonos elam mitocha. So here the tenant farmer can't say to the owner, look, this is unbelievable stuff. I'm going to go to the market. I'm going to buy average wheat, and I'll keep the rest for myself. So you can't do that. Meaning you can't. The loss is going to go to the owner, and the gain is going to go to the owner as well in terms of the quality of product. Gemara starts right away with a maisa. How gavra dekabel ara la'aspasta. So there was a person who accepted a field, and his plan was to plant aspasta bekur de sa'are. Now, what he was going to pay the owner of the land was going to be barley. Now, of course, that's strange if you're planting aspasta. So how can you pay in barley? The answer is obvious. You're going to buy barley, and you're going to pay the owner in barley that you bought. It's kind of like paying him money, but over here, though, instead of giving him cash, you're promising him barley. Anyway, avda aspasta v'charsha v'zara sa'are v'laku hanisa'are. So the story goes like this. So he planted the aspasta, was a great harvest, and then he had another round. So instead of planting another round of aspasta, so he planted barley. Because anyway, that's what he's got to pay the owner. And v'laku hanisa'are. But the barley that came up was extraordinarily inferior in quality. And now, Shachar of Chaviva Mesura, Deprasa Kamed Ravina. So the question now is posed to Ravina. Ki Agav Namai. What's the halacha going to be like over here? Meaning that what was the agreement was to plant aspasta in the ground, some sort of legume. that was the agreement. And in terms of payment, the agreed payment was going to be barley, but barley that he was going to buy, which obviously meant that it was going to be of quality, an average quality. Then, because he had a little bit of time left in the season, he planted barley in the ground, even though that wasn't agreed that it was going to plant. And the quality came in, it was really inferior. Can he use that barley to pay the owner? He locked the nosin la mitocha dami. Oh, lo. So fine. So can you apply the rule that we learned back in our Mishnah over here? Amar le mi dami. So Ravina's answer is no, we're not going to apply the rule of the Mishnah. This case is not comparable to our Mishnah. Hasam lo avda arish lichusa damara. Hacha avda arish lichusa damara. You see, when it came to our Mishnah, so our Mishnah is talking about a case where this is agreed that this was going to be planted in the ground. And now, in terms of the quality, meaning in our Mishnah, in terms of the quality, well, it's your land, and you are going to get paid from this land based on whatever is going to grow. It's going to perform for you. It's not going to perform for you. But in other words, the owner is going to get whatever's coming out of the ground because that's what it was agreed upon. Here, however, what was agreed to was that you're going to plant us pasta, and the barley that you're going to pay me is not going to be from this land. So over here, I don't have to ask the question, did the land perform for me? That's not what I asked the land to do. I asked you to plant another grain. So the fact that you planted barley and the barley was inferior, that's not the land performing for me, that's the land performing for you. You're still going to have to pay me average barley. How governed the Kaaba Pardes Mechavre Be'eser Dani Chamra? Another story the Gemara tells, a person accepts a vineyard to cultivate the vineyard, grow the vineyard, and he was going to give Eser Dani Chamra, 10 barrels of wine. So Takif Ha'u Chamra. Now, so grew the grapes, harvested the grapes, made the wine, went sour. Savrav Kahana Lamemar Haina Masi Sin. So now, is that going to be analogous to our Mishnah? What did we learn in our Mishnah? That whatever the field produces qualitatively is going to be fair payment to the owner. So basically, isn't that what we're saying? So the Gemara says, Lakta Nosin La Mitocha, that's the Mishnah. That whatever the quality is, that's what you're going to give to the owner. So Amalei Rav Ashi Midami. So again, Rav Ashi says not comparable. Hasam lo avda arash lichusa, hacha avda arash lichusa. Once again, we're going to talk about the land working for me, the land doing my bidding. When I am collecting grapes, so then yes, I'm going to have me, the owner of the land, I'm going to have to accept whatever quality grape the land is going to be producing. But I'm not taking the grape. I'm taking the wine. Wine, of course, is a product of the field, but it's a step removed. It's a stage, it's more processed. And so therefore, the fault of the wine souring could be not a function of the grape, but could be just simply a question of the processing and the manufacturing of the wine. So here, I don't have to accept sour wine as the owner. What I will accept only is a fair quality wine. And so therefore, it's not comparable. However, Moedei Rav Ashi be'inveh dekadom uvistei shelakta ba'omraha. Now Rav Ashi will say, look, here's what I'll agree with you. Let's say you picked the grapes and the grapes were infested with worms. I'll say now the tenant farmer can pay the worm infested grapes over to the owner. Why? Because those are the grapes that grew in the ground. And so therefore, obviously the quality is really poor, but that's what grew and that's what you could pay. Similarly, Sadish Lakta Bomra. Let's say you have a field where the sheaves were, again, reduced in quality. Rashi points out over here, the sheaves were cut, they were laid on the ground in order to dry. They still need the ground, meaning you just need an area of the ground in order to dry the sheaves, but if they are, if they become inferior in quality while lying down on the ground, that also you could just simply give to the owner and say, here you go, this is what the land produced, and that would be acceptable. We're in the very bottom Mishnah on Kuf.
Assuming that he had worked the ground in proper manner.
Rashi says, okay, I'll add another point. Rashi says, Ukigon, the last words of the Rashi on the Sugya. Ukigon delo ichru yoser min aminok. Meaning, as long as you didn't leave it out in the field too long. Okay. The Mishnah. Okay, you accepted a field from your friend in order to work the field. So once again, are we talking about chakiris? Are we talking about a resource? Well, let's see the Mishnah and then we'll identify. The Mishnah says that you accepted a field from your friend in order to plant barley. Lo yizra enu chitim. So you're not allowed to plant wheat. Chitim yizrenu se'orim. But if you accepted to plant wheat, so then you can change the plan and plant barley. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, you cannot. Tvua lo yizrenu kidneys, kidneys yizrenu tvua. If you agree to plant a grain, you can't plant a legume. If you agree to plant a legume, you can plant a grain. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oser. Okay. So, you can change in one direction but not in another. Are we talking about chakiris or are we talking about arisus? So let's take a look at Rashi. Hamakabo sada lezara se'orim, Rashi writes, uvechakiris kach vekachitim o se'orim o maus. So Rashi says we're talking about tenant farming. You're paying the owner a fixed amount. So if you agree to plant barley, you cannot plant wheat. Rashi says, why not? She'achitim achisha se'sakarka. Because in terms of the land, wheat is a lot harder on the land than barley. So you plant the wheat, so yeah, the wheat may be a little bit better for you, but for the land, it is inferior. So yoser min ha-se'orim, it's worse than barley. Barley is easier on the land. V'ha'lo mitukma ella bechachrenus. Now Rashi points out over here, we're talking about a choker. We're talking about tenant farming. And then Rashi here gets interesting. De'i bekablanus, because imagine now, what would be the halacha if you're an aris? If you're sharecropping? Ha aminan tekuch ara v'lolekuch mara v'harehu ne'aneh b'shinu shel zeh. Well, remember what we learned earlier, that as far as the owner of the land is concerned, he's more interested in profit than in property. And as long as the profit's good, even if the property's going to lose, so you are interested in greater profit than that of your own very own property. And so what Rashi says basically is that if you're an aris, so then you can make executive decisions to change if the profit is going to be better. It's interesting. I could have argued the other way. And I noticed the Gaon over here on this Rashi, quoting the Ramban. I did not look up the Ramban. But according to the Ramban says that just the opposite. That if you're an aris, you can't make any change whatsoever. I hear this Ramban, meaning, let's think this through. If you are an aris, you're basically a partner. If you are partnering in a business, you can't change anything from the business model unless you turn to your partner and say, hey, can we make any changes over here? And if your business partner says fine, so then fine. If not, so then you can't do that. You can't make executive decisions in a partnership. And a resource is basically a partnership between you and the owner of the property. So I really, truth of the matter is, I hear it. I hear the Ramban. Rashi, on the other hand, says no. Rashi says that as long as it's improved profit, so then you can safely assume that as long as the profit's better, so then your silent partner, the owner of the property, is going to be totally on board with whatever changes you make, as long as the profit is going to be better. Okay. Back to our Mishnah. Okay, so now let's put the Mishnah in proper context as we just went through Rashi. So basically it goes like this. If you're a choker, if you're a tenant farmer, if you agreed to plant barley, you can't plant wheat. And the reason why, we'll say now, is because we know that barley is easier on the property than that of wheat, and so therefore you can't make that change. However, from wheat you can go to barley, and the reason why is because barley is easier on the property. And you're a choker, and you're a tenant farmer, and you're going to be paying a fixed amount. So the value that the owner is going to be receiving is going to be the same, although I understand wheat and barley are not exactly the same, but effectively, it's going to be the same amount, and it's going to be easier on the property. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, for reasons which we're going to explain, doesn't agree. He says you can't change at all. And the same thing is true regarding grain relative to legumes. So grain is easier on the property than kidneys. So again, you can't go from grain to kidneys, but you can go from kidneys and change it over to grain. And same thing, Rav Shimon Gamliel does not agree with that as well. I'm Rav Chisa, my time is Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Rav Shimon Gamliel says that you cannot make any kind of changes from the instructions. Now, what's the reason why? Dichsiv. So the Gemara starts off with an explanation, which quite frankly, I would have said. She'eris Yisrael lo yasu av lava lo yidabru chazav lo yimtza b'fiyam lashon tarmis. It's deceptive. It's not honest. You agree to plant a certain grain in the ground, and then you change, and that's dishonest. So Meitzvah, the Gemara says, yeah, that's dishonest, but In this context, it's not really dishonest. Let's go back to something we learned some time ago in our Masechta. Mikbas Purim lePurim ve'im medaktik imadaver. If you're making a collection for Purim, so the allocation of that fund has to be for Purim, meaning Matanus La'aniyim for Purim. And you don't have to be super precise. Ve'ina ani rashai likach me'em ritzua l'sandalo. Now, how about using it for anything other than food? So the Braisa says, you can't do that. You can't divert the funds from food to clothing. Elin Cain, histam b'mayim aranchi ha'ir. You have city council giving you the permission to divert the funds from food for the poor to clothing for the poor. So then, under those circumstances, that you could do. Divrei Rav Yaakov she'amar mishum Rabbi Meir. And that is Shitas Rav Meir, as quoted by Rav Yaakov. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, we're on the top of Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, Mekel, he is lenient. Rashi on the very top of the Amud. That means, Afagav de Mishan, lo suffer de makbid inish, mini de lo chaser ba. The giver of that money just wants to go to the poor people. From the giver's standpoint, he does not care whether it goes for food or whether it goes from clothing. The poor need it. I'll let the Gabbai decide how to allocate that money for the poor. Food or clothing. It doesn't matter. And who is that in the Braisa? That Shitas Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Now, let's apply that to what we now know in our Mishnah. As long as the person doesn't care, so you can make executive decisions of changing from the agreed premise, as long as it doesn't cause a loss to the person. So assuming now, which is what our assumption is in the Mishnah, is that moving from wheat to barley doesn't cause a loss. Barley is easier on the ground. So then, why should the owner care what I decide to plant? And so what the Gemara now is proposing is that our explanation for Shimon Gamliel is not correct, because really he shouldn't care. Now again, I can make the argument that he would still care, because he's going to be getting a portion of that, a fixed portion. But in other words, he was expecting wheat, and now he's going to get barley. I hear you, and I understand that, and I could also make the argument. Okay, but the Gemara is going to give another explanation. I'm Rabbi Tamid Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I'm sorry, Tamid Rabbi Shimon Kid Demar. So Rabbi says that, you know, Rabbi Shimon follows Master. Now, when he says Master, Rashi says he's talking about his Rebbe and also his foster parent. Abaye was an orphan from birth. Mother died at birth, as per the Gemara in Kiddushin, and he was taken in by Rabbi Bar Nachmeni. And so Rabbi raised him, taught him Torah. So that's when Abaye quotes, he's quoting Rabbi. The Amar Mar, Haiman de Nichale, the Tavar Ara. So do you want your land to be desolate, devastated? Right? Is that what you want? Now, I'm saying the Gemara over like Rashi right now, right? Admittedly, Tosfos does not say this pshat, but okay, for our purposes, I'm just going to say over Rashi. Do you want your land devastated? So I'll give you the formula for devastation of your land. Lizrei shasa chiti, 1 year plant wheat. Vishasa sa'are, the next year plant barley. Shasa shesi, vishasa erev. 1 year go along the vertical, the next year go along the horizontal. Basically, you change it up, and the land is going to respond by basically dying on you. So, Rashi says, here's how that fits into our discussion. You see, when you agreed with the owner of the land of this is what you're going to plant, the owner knows the history and you don't necessarily know the history. You're a tenant farmer. You just got here. He's the owner of the land. He knows what's been historically been planted. And so therefore, could be that last year was wheat, so he agreed with you with barley, and if you change and you move it to wheat, so then, last year was barley. The owner would like to this year to consistently be barley, and then if you change it to wheat, or you make any kind of deviation whatsoever, you're going to ruin the land. So he knows the history, you don't necessarily know the history, and that would create a loss of land. V'law amarin, and then the Gemara just adds one postscript to this formula of destroying your land. V'law amarin ela de l'chriv v'tini. Av achriv v'tini leislam ba. You plow the land and you repeat the plowing, so that's like the reset button of the land, and so then you don't have to worry about alternating various crops. Now, Rav Yehuda, when he taught the Mishnah over to Ravin, he says, Tvua Yizra and Akitnis. Now, that, of course, is a departure from what we learned in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we learned Tvua Lo Yizra and Akitnis. If they agreed, the farming on the land was going to be on grain. So our Mishnah says you can't change it over to legumes. And the Braisa, or the Mishnah, as taught by Rav Yehuda, is you can. And so the response is, yeah, but I know my Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that you can't go from grain to legume, and so you're not in agreement with our Mishnah. So Amalei Lo Kasha says, no, that doesn't bother me. Halan v'halahu. Depends if we're talking about Eretz Yisrael or in Bavel. Okay, the halan halahu rejoinder of the Gemara is pretty common, and it's just a question of the Mishnah is applying to Eretz Yisrael or to Bavel. Now, generally speaking, it geographically works, meaning that the Mishnah generally talks about Eretz Yisrael, although and the Amoraim are going to be talking about Bavel. Rashi here says, yeah, that's the correct way to learn it, and the difference being, says Rashi, I'll read the Rashi. Halan v'alahu, masnisen be'eretz Yisrael. Our Mishnah that says that you cannot go from grain to legume is talking about Eretz Yisrael. Shehi makom harim. Eretz Yisrael is mountainous. Ve'ikal amechas kichsha da'ara. And so therefore, it's not very fertile land. It's mountainous land. And so therefore, you need to worry about ruining the land. And again, the legumes is harsher on the land than that of grain. Anan, but now Rashi says, contrast that to us in Bavel. Hashta b'Bavel kaimina shehei mitzula utavua bibitze hamayim. High water table. We are in the Fertile Crescent. V'leikal amecha shekichsha da'ara. We don't have to worry about the ruining of the land. Hilkach mishana b'chol makam sheyirtza mikitnes l'tvua mitvua l'kitnes. Rabbi Shimon oser k'da amaran. And that's why when you are learning the Mishnah. Now it's interesting over here. It's not like, it sounded like the way it was presented is that was a different version of the Mishnah. It really is, what the Amoraim are doing, is they're kind of like editing the Mishnah based on the fact that we live in Bavel. So, it's whatever. Okay. I'll leave that alone. Okay, back to our Gemara. Amalei Rav Yehuda l'Ravin bar Rav Nachman Ravin Achi. Okay, so, we had a dialogue between Rav Yehuda and Ravin, so Gemara now is going to segue into more dialogue between Rav Yehuda and Ravin. So he says, Ravin Achi, Ravin, my brother. Hani tachle de bekisna. Sometimes when you're planting flax out in the field, so there are leeks that grow in somewhere in the middle, and the leeks are kind of like weeds. Meaning, right now your primary interest is in the growth of flax, and right now the leeks are just going to hurt the flax. So it is not going to be gzela for people to come onto the field and just simply pluck out the leeks. It's kind of like they're weeding your property for you. You should actually say to them, "Thank you." Now, if the leeks are not in the flax field, but they're growing around the perimeter, so then a person does not have the right to come onto your field and take it, because it's not detrimental to your flax, and so therefore, yesh b'hem mishum gezela. V'im hukshu lezera, afilu debei kisna, nami yesh b'hem mishum gezel. Im hukshu lekisna, if they are connected to the if they're connected to the seed. Rashi points out over here. The cress, the leeks that grew together with the flax for many days until the growth is finished. Meaning, I'm only really interested in other people coming and weeding my property only during the growth. But after the growth now has come to a conclusion, so now it doesn't, the surrounding leeks and crests that are growing around my flax don't really bother me, and therefore no one has the right to take them. My time amad afsid, because whatever whatever detriment they caused to the flax is done already. It's finished. We can move on. Meaning, and therefore nobody can come and take them anymore. Nobody's doing me a favor by removing the leeks from the property. Amalei Rav Yehuda Raven Barav Nachman Raven Achi. More dialogue. Rav Yehuda says to Raven, my brother, Hani Dili Dilach V'Dilach Dili. Right, that which is mine is yours, and that which is yours is mine. Now, this is not the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, and we're not learning over here Mussar. Although, you know, in general, it's good, right? The idea of sharing, but right, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. He's a Rasha, so what's mine is yours, and what's yours is yours. Right? You're a tzaddik, right? Chassid? Chassid, okay. Okay, good. You know the Mishnah better than I do. Okay, that's great. Okay. Well, but we're not talking, right, but this is not Musar over here. This is not Pirkei Avos. Okay, this is now, this is business. Okay, so I have trees growing on my land and you have trees growing on your hand. So Rashi over here gives us the proper context. Dili, dilach, dilach, dili. Again, I got to read the Rashi over here. Yesh bi'ilan osai shaper shocha. You know, of some of my trees, the fruit belong to you. Uvi ilan osecha shaper shali. And of your trees, the fruit, some of that fruit belongs to me. Why? Shesiddo senu zula zus muchos v'hamitzarim gvoim. Our fields are right next to one another. And we put a little border between us, raised land. V'ilanos netuim b'hem. And we plant the trees right on the border. Yesh mem netuim b'shali, sheshashem, kafafu v'natu kulan l'soch sadecha. Now, of some of my trees that I have on the border, all the roots, now Rashi is very clear about this, all the roots of the tree now are encroaching and going into your property. V'yoncha mishalcha. And similarly, you have trees where all your roots are going into my property. And now the argument that he's about to make, that Rav Yehuda is about to make, is that if all the roots are going into the other person's property, the fruit growing belong to the other person. Amalei Rav Yehuda Raven, I'm sorry, Dilach, Dili Dilach V'Dilach Dili. Nahog B'nei Mitzra. And this is the custom of the people who are living on this border. Ilan anot lakan lakan, anot lakan lakan. The tree that goes in both directions, and the roots are going in both directions. The itmar ilan aomin alametzar, amarav anot lakan lakan, anot lakan lakan. Whichever roots they are headed into, that's the owner of the fruit. So if all the roots are going to your property, the fruit belongs to you, even though the fruit are going on my property, and vice versa. Ushmul Amar Cholkin, and Shmuel says no. Even if the roots are going into the other person's property, it is to be divided. Meitzvei, the Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Ilan Omed Al Meitzvei Yachloku. The Braisa says that if you have a tree on the border, regardless of wherever the roots go, or if the roots are going to the other person's property, the fruit is to be divided. Tiyufta de Rav. Now, this is a Braisa, and the Braisa is difficult for the Shita of Rav. Tirgum Shmuel, Liba de Rav. Now, Shmuel defends Rav, and this is one of those good times in the Gemara where Shmuel is arguing with Rav, but at the same time, he'll defend Rav because he can. Meaning, they're not interested in debate, they're interested in obtaining the truth. And so if I could defend Rav, of course I'll do that. So ben mamale kol ametzer kula. So we're talking about where it is filling the entire border. So yachim ala member. So the Gemara says, well, if it's filling the entire border, so then what's the chiddush? Lo tzricha de talituna lechad gisa. So even though the roots are distributed, but the fruit are growing on one side. V'akatim ala meimer. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, why is that a chiddush? Ma'u detem, the Gemara says, because I might have said, damalei plog hachi. Well, look, we're going to have to draw a line separating the tree into two halves. Now we can go either parallel with the border, or we can go perpendicular with the border. And the reason why we kind of like have almost like an arbitrary decision is because the roots are growing in every direction. So the tree is to be divided. And it's kind of arbitrary how we're going to divide the tree. So now, hachi kamashmalan. Damalei machaz et tapaga hachi plog hachi. Well, look, You think we should draw a line in one direction, which will put all the fruit on one side, but I'll tell you, okay, just turn the line 90 degrees, and instead of going parallel, go perpendicular. And now, well, the fruit will be properly divided. So in other words, if there is a distribution of the roots into mine and your property, so then the fruit should also be divided as well. Okay. Amli Rav Yudal Ravin Barav Nachman Ravin Achi, my brother. Lotiz ben Arad Dismich Lamasa. Don't buy a property that's right up against the city. Now, as we'll learn in just a moment, and this should bother you, meaning we daven, and you know, by benching, there's a special bracha that you make for the Baal Bais, that you want his business to be smucha ukrova le'ir. You want your business to be proximate. You don't want to have to travel in order to see how your business is doing. But over here, it's kind of like almost like a contrast to that. You want it close to the city, but you don't want it too close to the city. Why not? Rashi here writes, and you'll see this is going to be a big theme for the remainder of the daf today. Rashi says, "Lo tizban, lo tiknasa das mucha le'ir, she'ein b'nei adam sholatas batamid." Sorry. She'ayin b'nei adam sholatas batamid. Because people are going to be seeing your business all the time, and sometimes we could be a little bit too investigative in terms of how we, in terms of how other people's businesses are doing. It's obviously lashon hara, but it's important for us to know how other people are doing in business. It's, you know, it's obvious. It's critical. It's critical. So lo tiz ben arad dismich lamasa damar Rabbi Abba amar Rav Huna amar Rav also lo laadam shi'amor asad chaver b'shal shomeres bekam moseha. Don't stand by somebody else's field at the time where now the wheat is grown. Because basically he's going to be looking and seeing how your business is doing. Oh, interesting. Well, very, very good. And he's going to be putting on the ayin hara on your property, and you don't want that. Okay. Iniv the Gemara says, Vaha ashkechino debay Rabbi Abba letalmide derav. The Gemara points out that Rabbi Abba finds the students of Rav Amar Lahu. My Amar Rav Bahani cry. So, he basically quizzes them. I know you're learning by Rav. I'd like to hear, this is Rabbi Abba's question, I'd like to hear what Rav has to say about the following psukim. Okay, we're in the Tochacha. Actually, this is the bracha right before the Tochacha in Kisavo. Baruch atah b'ir, baruch atah b'sadeh, baruch atah b'vorecha, baruch atah b'tzeisecha. V'amru lei hachi amar Rav. So, how does Rav darshan these psukim? And so their response is, this is how he does it. So you should have a bracha in your city. Your house should be proximate to the shul. And your field should be blessed so that your field should be next to the city. Which, again, as I pointed out, that's a bracha. That's, and we say that by benching. You want your field to be next to the city. You don't want your travel to have to be long. Now this goes against what we just learned, and that's exactly the problem, which we'll point out, and we'll give an answer a little bit later on. So when you come home, you should have a bracha. Your wife should not be a suffik nida. Now it's interesting. Rashi over here says v'kol shekein vaday, meaning you don't want your wife to be a suffik nida. You don't want her to be a vaday nida. You could have set up shot in that you don't want her to be a suffik nida, meaning either she is or she isn't. But the idea of her being a suffik is like, you know, that's, you know, correct. In other words, right, you may be machsho. B'shas b'yascham in a derech, I'm sorry, b'shas b'yascham in a derech. Baruch atah b'tzei secha, shiut tzei me'echa kamoscha. And you should be blessed b'tzei secha, meaning that which comes out of you, your progeny, should come out looking just like you, as per the Gemara and Tanis. Okay. The Amarlu Rav Yochan, the Amarluhu. Now, we have a kasha standing, meaning that we just learned together that the field should not be next to, you should not buy the field right next to the city. And meanwhile, we just learned, at least according to Rav, it's a bracha to have your field right next to the city. So we're gonna have to answer that question. And the answer is going to be very simple. But in the meantime, however, we're in the middle of a dialogue. Rabbi Abba asked the Talmidim of Rav, could you tell me over what Rav said? So they said over. And Amar Lahu, now Rabbi Abba says, you know, that's not the Kabbalah I have. V'amalu Rav Yochanan lo Amar Achi. I learned these Pesukim by Rav Yochanan, and he did not say that. He said a different pshat. Ella, So best to have the bathroom right next to the table. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have indoor plumbing. So we are all blessed. But back in the good old days, without indoor plumbing, so it was a bracha to have the bathroom somewhere proximate to the shulchan. Aval, Beis HaKnesses lo. Now, it's better, according to Rav Yochanan, to not live right next to the shul. Why? Rav Yochanan tamid amar skar psios yesh. Because Rav Yochanan says that for every step you take to go to shul, you get skar halicha. And that is a good thing. Baruch atah besadish yinechasecha mishulashin. In terms of the brach on the field, so Rav Yochanan says that the best thing to have is diversity in your portfolio. But here, when we talk about your portfolio, we're talking about your field. Shlish b'tzvur, shlish b'zesim, shlish b'kefanim. Right? And you want all three industries covered. The grain, the olives, and the grapes. Baruch atah b'vecha, baruch atah b'tzitzecha, shitu yishitei yitziyaschah min ha'olam, ki biyaschah la'olam. Now Rav Yochanan says, be on seisa over here means as follows. Just like you were born into this world, that's how you should die. Ma biyaschah la'olam b'lo chet, af yitziyaschah min ha'olam b'lo chet. You came into this world without chet, you should leave this world with no chet as well. We are now on the top of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We need to answer the question. We have now heard what Rav has to say about the Pesukim. We heard what Rav Yochanan has to say about the Pesukim. But when all said and done, should you have your field right next to the city? So we start off by saying no. And this is what Rav Yehuda taught his brother. I don't know if it's biological, but he taught his brother Ravin. And meanwhile, Rav says that the bracha that the Torah is telling us is that your field should be right next to the city. So the Gemara's answer very simple. The only reason, the only problem with having the field right next to the city is Ein Hara. Build a wall. So you build a wall. That's right. You build a wall. And you build a wall, and you're not going to have a problem of Ein Hara. Okay. Very good. Okay, as long as we were discussing the brachas in the Torah, so we are now continuing and giving drush on the brachas mentioned in the Torah. Top of Mem Zayin Amud Beis. V'heiser Hashem Mimcha Kol Choli, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take away all illness. Amrav Zu Ayin. So this is a reference to the eye. Rav Latame. Now, this is Rav being consistent, meaning that Choli really is a manifestation. It's a result of Ayin Hara. People giving you the Ayin Hara, and therefore you get sick. Now, how does Rav know this? Okay, I'm only reading and explaining. I'm only reading and translating. That's the best I can do. So how did Rav know this? So Rav Latame. The Rav Salak Lebe Kivrei. So Rav went to the cemetery, and Avad Maida Avad, and he did what he had to do. Now, what did he have to do? So again, I read the Rashi. Yodeh hayalucho shalakvara. So he knew how to speak and do rather various incantations. Ulahavin al kol kever vekever be'ez misa meis. And basically went from grave to grave, and through his lechisha was able to identify cause of death. Im meis bezmano im ba'in hara. So did they die of natural causes, or did they die prematurely as a result of ayin hara? You and I both know. You're not allowed to talk to the dead. But I don't know.
He wasn't talking to the dead.
It was a one-way conversation. Okay, anyway. Fine, we all know it. It's obviously curiosity. Let's just finish up. Amr Tisha V'Tisha Ba'ayin Ra V'Echa B'Derech Eretz. Wow. 99% of the people that died as a result of Ayin Hara, and only one died of Derech Eretz. Now, the Tosus on the top over here is bothered by the fact that we're the descendants of Yosef, and Yosef is the Eino Shole Ba'Ayin Hara, this week's Parsha. For it fits him beautifully. And so what do you do with that? So I'll tell you what you do with that. You look at Tosfos. Okay. Ushmul Amar. Zeharuach. Shmuel says no. The cause of premature death is a result of ruach, the winds. Winds are terrible. They're detrimental. Shmuel atame dam shmuel hakol beruach. Okay, everyone suffers from the winds. Ulshmuel ha'ika haruge malchus. So the Gemara says, now what about haruge malchus? Clearly, you can't blame the ruach. The Gemara says, no. Shmuel says you can. Hanachnami ilav zika avdelahu sama v'chaye. Now, even for haruge malchus, had it not been for the wind, so people could have been remedied. Rabbi Chanina Amar Zutzina. Rabbi Chanina says, no, it's a reference to the cold. The Amar Rabbi Chanina kol b'deshamayim chutz mitzina mapachim. Everything is a direct result of a Kadosh Baruch Hu except for the cold. In other words, if you don't bundle up, that's a you problem. Okay, mom is right. A person can easily control the cold. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina Amar Zutzoa. It's a reference to secretion. Now, tzoa generally is reference to excrement, but in this context, it's secretion. That which comes out of the nose and ears, Ruben Kasho Miyotan Yafa. So you have a little bit of discharge coming out of the nose and ears that's healthy, too much of it, and that's not a good thing. Rabbi Lazar Amar Zumara, it's a reference to the gallbladder. Tanya Namihachi Machla Zumara. The Machla is a reference to the Mara. Velamani Kreshma Machla. She Machla Kogufo Shal Adam. Really is the source of all that which is bad to the human body. Dava Acher Machla Sheshmona Mushosha Chalaim Tuluim Bamara. The Gematria of Machla is 83. 83 different illnesses are connected to the Mara. Vekulam Pasharchus Bamelch Vekito Shomai Mevatlan. How do you negate it? So you have bread in the morning together with a little bit of salt, water, and that's mevatel, the machla. We'll continue tomorrow.